I'm standing beside the tiger enclosure at the zoo here in the middle of London. The tiger here today is Lumpur, who's 11 years old and has lived here all his life. He's about to get a new mate called Riker, but today he's just sleeping, paying very little attention to the visitors beyond his cage. Of course, the Zoological Society of London does a great deal of work in a variety of countries to help ensure the survival of endangered species like this one. But with Indian tiger numbers dwindling rapidly, some conservationists think very serious action needs to be taken right now if the future of tigers is not to be in cages and cages alone. Valmik Thapar is one of them.
The threat is basically poaching and habitat destruction. The threat of poaching really comes from the demand on the tigers' bones and skins from China, which are across from India's borders. And there have been lots of seizures over the last 5 years in Nepal running into China, which have shown the level and scale of poaching. So the Indian poacher is being paid a fortune to go out there and kill a tiger and risk his life doing so. Our enforcement and protection mechanisms in India aren't strong enough to deal with that kind of pressure. The government now have scientifically estimated tiger populations, and they believe that it could be as low as 1,400 tigers for the whole of India. And we may have, in the last 5 years, lost 2,000, 2,500 tigers to poachers. We haven't changed the way we govern the forests of India since independence. India has changed. We are 1.2 billion people. We are a huge human landscape which is overrunning the natural landscape. And the issue really now is what we can save by making it inviolate, by protecting it, by policing it. Nobody in the world likes the thought of policing, but if we have to save even a handful of tigers, it's going to come with absolute strict policing. But policing is essential. Without policing, it's the end of the tiger.
But even the numbers that you were speaking of, that the government survey has established, are there, the 1,400, in such a vast country. And if you're losing them at that kind of rate to poaching, the situation sounds almost hopeless.
For a lot of areas, it's hopeless. The tiger was found in pockets everywhere in India. Now it's relegated to areas which are frequently visited by tourists. And we've got to think of how other areas which have been neglected, where no one goes, are saved. How do we keep the buffers intact? So many of us in India are looking at the whole business now of global warming and climate change, the importance of forests, the importance of storing carbon in forests. How do we convert farms into forests? How in the buffer can we convert agricultural fields into forests so the tiger has a buffer? And there are carbon credits that can be given to local people, which are much more than what their crop is going to give them. Some people are realizing that they don't want to lose nature's treasure house. It's the one asset which exists in every nation. And the tiger is a great symbol of it. The forests where tigers have done well are where there are no people, like Ranthambore National Park. I've just finished a book in March, April. I never expected to do this book. It's a success story. It's about hope. I never thought I'd see it. But I went there with my son, spent 10 of the best days of my life in Ranthambore National Park, where I couldn't move anywhere without bumping into tigers. So where there's good policing, where there's good protection, your tigers do really well. And it's not some magical formula that you have to evolve. It's a simple old world principle of keeping an area intact where human beings don't go in and exploit it.